Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
D, Gen Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back again. Finally, it is week one. Finally, there is football on the TV. Rams and Bills, what is it, 24-10? But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about week one. Maddie, back with us as always. And then, you know, finally, out of prison, is D-Bro is able to join us once again for a DFS show. We have a long time waiting. But we're happy to have you back.
Oh, Kev, you wanted the smoke. You asked me to come back in here. I'm kind of wondering if you're going to regret that decision, my friend.
Never. Absolutely not. I am going to take you to task, as always.
Love it, dude. I'm glad to be back. Love you, boys. Nothing better than talking football with friends. It feels like a reunion. It's a homecoming of sorts, my guys.
Amen to that. It's good to have you back on.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Hell yeah. So, that being said, since we're going to, this will probably be a 3-hour show. So let's try to.
No, it's not going to be.
I can't today.
Well, let's see what we can do here. So, on this show, if you are new here, we go position by position. We do not go game by game. So, let's start with the quarterback positions. Let's start with the 6K and above guys. Tell me, who are you guys rocking with this week?
Whew, Maddie, you want to lead this off? I don't have a salary in front of me.
You're the guest, man.
Oh, God. Okay.
You kick it off.
I don't have salaries in front of me, fellas, but I can tell you who I like. I like a lot. Unless you want to roll down salaries here, Kev.
Yeah, so we got Patrick Mahomes at 7,700, Justin Herbert at 7,600. We have Lamar Jackson at 7,300, Kyler Murray at 7,200, Aaron Rodgers at 7K. Then Jalen Hurts at 6,800, Joe Burrow at 6,400, Kirk Cousins at 6,100, and Trey Lance wrapping out the 6K group at 6K.
I mean, look, Maddie and I were all talking about this before we went live and stuff. Hurts is coming in popular. I'm still going to have exposure to him. We know that quarterback ownerships are going to be flat. Even if he's chalky, there's different ways to stack it. So Hurts is definitely going to be up there. Lamar, I'm going to have exposure in skinny stacks with Mark Andrews. I don't understand how many years we have to go through this to where right now I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes is at 8%. Kind of curious where that goes, but I'm going to have some Patrick Mahomes. It's going to happen. I think this is a good week to kind of get weird, though, guys. Like, you know, I like, especially depending on what you're doing. Maddie, we're in the qualifier streets, and if you're in large field tournaments, I think there's some quarterback plays that stick out that if you want to kind of get different with it, that makes some sense, though, man. I know Maddie and I were talking about Matt Ryan, at least having some interest possibly in him. Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to have some Aaron Rodgers. That's a definite, man. I think that Minnesota's secondary is slow. They can get beat by speed. I think that the pieces to follow with him are easy, and no, I'm not playing Sammy Watkins. But that's going to be a lot of the quarterbacks that I'm playing. I didn't mention Herbert or Lance, but you could toss them in there too. I mean, really, it's a lot of ways where if you're going to like run 10 to 20 teams this week, there are a lot of quarterback plays, a lot of guys that it's going to be hard for me to kind of narrow it down. I know, Maddie, you're probably going to do your usual like one team or three teams. This is one of those teams or weeks where I'm probably going to run 10. I'm probably going to run 15 teams just because my pool is going to be a little bit bigger than usual because there's a lot of games that I want exposure to. And week one, when we have no information, this sometimes you can kind of take advantage of some of that when some quarterbacks get no love and other players or stacks are just going to go overlooked.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know you touched on Mahomes very briefly, but I mean, it's the highest total game of the week, and he's the projected third highest owned quarterback right now. And I just think, you know, with how priced up he is, he's 7,700. He's not super easy to fit in. So I think he, you know, is going to come in with his ownership a little in check here.
And I think it's probably gonna be lower.
I think it is too, because,
and people don't know who to stack him with. They're like, well, we play Kelsey, but who the hell else do they want to play? They want to shy away from the rest of it.
Yeah. There's a ton of uncertainty right now around the Chiefs, you know, weapons, and we've seen both Mahomes and Rodgers, when Tyreek Hill has missed games and when Devontae Adams have missed games, they still throw for 300 plus yards and multiple touchdowns. And it's because it's a quarterback league, right? So when the good QBs make receivers better, the good receivers don't necessarily make the bad QBs better. So it's, you know, I tend to side with the really good QBs are still going to be really good, even when they lose their really good wide receivers. So I think both Rodgers and Mahomes are going to benefit from an ownership standpoint because of those guys not being there and because of uncertainty of where the ball is going to go. But I mean, if Lazard plays, you know, he's the guy I want. We've seen him put up 150, you know, six catches, 150 yards and a score. One game when Devontae Adams missed, that was two seasons ago, but I mean, we've seen him, you know, be the guy, so he can
at
do
this
it.
Point. I kind of think he's going to be out. I mean, Kev, do you think he's going to play?
No,
sounds
I
like
don't,
he got
I,
stepped
I don't think,
on. So
yeah, I don't
think he plays.
Yeah. So, I mean, that narrows down the receivers for Green Bay even more, right? I mean, you've got Christian Watson, who didn't really play much this preseason because of injuries, but I mean, he's definitely going to be out there. We've heard Rodgers, you know, speak highly of him in interviews. Same with Romeo Doubs. I mean, that guy has been playing and has been spoken highly of. We've seen him produce in the preseason as well. And then, you know, Tonyan, who knows if he plays, he's questionable with coming back from off the ACL, but, and you've got the two running backs that Rodgers loves to throw to. And I really don't even hate stacking one of them. If you're playing Rodgers, you know, running Rodgers with Jones or Rodgers with Dylan, and then picking one of the wide receivers like Watson or Doubs.
Who's your favorite wide receiver? I gotta say that, because like I'm not playing Sammy Watkins. Are you?
No, definitely not. And I don't think I can bring myself to play Cobb either. He's just so much of a possession guy that, you know, he's got
situational. Unless he's in the red zone, he gets nothing.
He's got to see, you know, 10 plus targets for him to have a shot at 100 yards. So, it's probably got to be one of the rookies, right? And I would just probably play Rodgers with Aaron Jones and one of the rookie receivers, whether it's Watson or Doubs, probably Watson. But
I want to double stack him, dude. Be honest with you. I want to play Dobbs and I want to play Watson. That's the direction I'm leaning right now.
I don't hate it. And like I said, you know, Rodgers, I mentioned this on last week's podcast. If you go back and look at Cousins versus Green Bay and Rodgers versus Minnesota, they both light each other up. Those two teams just score a ton of points via passing against each other. And it's, you know, two defenses you can run the ball against as well. So it's just not really much, you know, in the way of defenses in that game. It's a, you know, fourth highest total of the week, but yet it's coming in as like one of the lowest owned games of the week. So that's a game I really, really, really like. And I think it's because of the uncertainty we're seeing from a pass catcher standpoint. So I like Rodgers a lot. I like Mahomes a lot because for those reasons. And if I was, you know, if you just told me to pick the best QB on paper this week, it's Jalen Hurts, but he's also going to be the most popular. So there's definitely some merit to wanting to fade him and get different. And when you say fade Jalen Hurts, it's not because you think he's going to have a bad game, right? It's because you're hoping that one of these other games is, you know, Rodgers is going to throw four or five touchdowns or Mahomes is going to throw four or five touchdowns, whereas Hurts only going to throw two. And, you know, Miles Sanders scores a long, you know, like a 40-yard rushing touchdown, or Boston Scott sneaks one in, or Gainwell sneaks one in, because that can happen for the Eagles. Yep. So it's, you know, it's not necessarily saying Hurts going to have a bad game. It's saying I'm playing ownerships, and I think Mahomes or Rodgers could easily throw for four or five touchdowns. And Cousins as well. You know, Cousins too. And Cousins, we talk about content. We just mentioned continuity before we hopped on the show. Mm-hmm. That Minnesota offense is the exact same offense, but with a better offensive coordinator. So, like, why are we not, you know, wanting to load up on Cousins and Jefferson and Thielen and Dalvin Cook? And I mean, I really like Minnesota too. So
I love that game, and I think it's going to go really overlooked.
It's going overlooked. I honestly may just end up with a full-blown Minnesota stack.
I think that the way you balance out the Hurts stuff is you just full game stack it, or you mix in some of these other popular games. Like, you run a Hurts, and we're talking about A.J. Brown's not coming in high. You single stack him with A.J. Brown, and then you just put, like, an unpopular game instead of, like, saying, I'm going to go to Kansas City, I'm going to go to the Chiefs, I'm going to go to these other places that are more popular, maybe they're more popular. It's like, well, I mean, screw it. I'm just going to put Packers and Vikings around it, and then I'm going to cut the ownership, the total ownership of my lineup. So, they're, you know, that's how you balance it out.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Kev, we know you're playing Trubisky. Why don't you just go ahead and give us a take?
It's your week, Kev. It's your time to shine. Trubisky, million
dollar
winner.
He's got the starting job. I mean, this is the time where you just let it all hang out, Kev. Come on, new to the streets, baby.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you can do that. But
That's it. That's all you got.
That's all you got. Like,
no, so this it? Is so this is where I come in on this. One, Patrick Mahomes is easy play. Very easy play. I think you stack him with Kelce. I think you stack him with Juju. I know we'll get into that later, but I think you stack him with Juju, and that's who you should look to play him with. I also think that I'm not playing Aaron Rodgers in this matchup.
Really?
I just have no faith in any of those weapons that they have. Like, and I get it. We've seen, you know, in years past and all this stuff, you know, that it's happened, and he's been able to, you know, withstand that. But, like, we saw last year, week one, they just get absolutely rocked and by the Saints. And this is on the road, and I just am not, like, have no faith whatsoever. Like, I have no idea who you even want to play him with. I think it could go all over the place. I think Sammy Watkins could be the guy. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. He's kind of the veteran that's there that, you know, I think still has whatever amount of juice left in the tank. You've already nailed it with Randall Cobb. And, you know, that he's just a situational guy. He's not going to play very much. So he's not a factor. And then who else do you really throw the ball to? Like, who are you afraid of in that offense at all? Like, there is nobody in that offense. Like, Christian Watson was very late, even to get started in the training camp. He was hurt. Like, I don't think he would be the guy. I like, maybe Romeo Doubs. But, again, is that a preseason, you know, hype type guy that, you know, we've seen last year, Terrace Marshall's kind of the same way. Preseason was crushed and then did absolutely nothing in the regular season. I get it, there's nobody else really there. There's no alpha, but, like, there's just nobody there that really gives me any confidence to play.
Dude, Aaron Jones is going to see so many checkdowns.
Very well could. If I was going to do anything, that's why I just wouldn't play Aaron Rodgers, just play Aaron Jones. Like, because, like, I just don't know really what to do with them. And, like,
am I just Minnesota onslaught with an Aaron Jones?
Yes, I love, like, the Minnesota side. I love
Aaron Jones. That's a good call. Aaron Jones is in a, like, Packers are getting beat up. Rodgers has to throw, but it's, you know, a ton of dump offs because that's all they're giving them.
What I will say to the wide receivers, so if Lazard, we're playing like Lazard's out, Cobb's not going to come in two wide receiver sets. So it's going to be Doubs or Watson. One of those guys is going to have to play full time because they're not going to trust Cobb on the outside.
They could rotate Watkins. They could rotate him.
I mean, they could. But what I'm saying is, like, but if they don't, you know what I'm saying? One of those guys has to get snaps.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely upside. You've got Aaron Rodgers throwing you the football against the.
I just think there's upside because both those guys have speed, and Peterson is not quick anymore. No, and Dantzler's always been slow.
That secondary is horrible.
Yeah, oh, for sure. They were terrible last year.
Yeah, they're really bad, and Aaron Rodgers can absolutely obliterate.
They can't handle speed, so it's like if Rodgers uncorks it deep, Doubs and Watson could just. Yeah, I mean, it could be. Sure.
They're definitely a play, man. I think they're more of a.
But I like Aaron Jones.
They're more of a 10-10 lineup kind of play. As opposed to a 1-3 lineup kind of play. Like, if you're stacking Minnesota, I don't think I could go.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't make my single entry or three max. That's for sure. Yeah.
I think the other one that I really like, though, is Lamar Jackson. I think I would just play him naked, though. Like, I don't know if I would actually stack.
Oh, man. I love the Andrews stack with him.
I don't hate Bateman either.
I'm a little bit lower than I thought I'd be on Bateman, only because I think the corners are going to be good. Like, Sauce and DJ Reed are good, but the one guy you can't cover with a damn corner, and the Jets were dog shit versus tight ends last year, so I think it could be an Andrews game. Not even factoring the fact that, like, what did Lamar come out and say? Like, Dobbins is not playing. We won't see him for 2 weeks. So could they throw the ball more?
Is Kenyon Drake going to start?
He might. He might.
Yeah, I mean, Gus Edwards ain't Mike playing. Davis. Dobbins ain't playing. It'll be him and Mike Davis, yeah.
Woof.
Yikes. I mean, that's a boost to Lamar.
Do you guys not have any interest in the Raiders and the Raiders and Chargers game?
I do. And I have even more interest considering, like, looking at where some of the parts and pieces are coming at. Like, after we were talking, Devontae, Waller, none of these guys are popular.
I just hate playing guys that aren't running backs or tight ends against the Chargers. Well, tight ends less so now that Derwin's back. But the Chargers just don't give up big plays, man. They just keep everything in front of them.
Yeah, that's fair. So I guess the play is what, Jacobs?
The play is Vegas. I mean, the Chargers. Like, if you're stacking up that game, it would probably be Herbert with Williams.
Damn it, I didn't even mention that. I like that.
Maybe
call.
Even Josh Palmer. Because he's going to be the starting
slot. I meant
to
throw that in there earlier, is that the Chargers, I think, are going to be really good. Where's Herbert coming in at, Maddie?
7,600.
He's
not popular, though. He's like, what, 6%? He's like, yeah, what,
he's like
QB
6%. He's like
QB 8.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's wild to me, too, because they have the second highest team total.
That game's going completely overlooked.
I love that. And the one thing I think people, and even, so when I wrote that game up, I was really high on that game after the fact because Herbert struggled versus them in two games last year, but you don't have the same corners. Like, Faison is, where is he at? For the Colts, I think. And Hayward's in Atlanta. So they're starting flicking, like, Nate Hobbs and Meek Robertson, like, these kind of trash cans on the outside. Like, it could be just Herbert, like, bombs away season, man. I like that call. I'm going to have a lot of Herbert thinking through this more.
Yeah, Herbert, Williams, and maybe Palmer as the triple stack, and run it back with like Waller. I can't bring myself to play Jacobs
or play Eckler. Eckler's
but
not
I like... do like the running backs. Yeah, you can play.
Kev, are you on Herbert a lot? Is that going to be your dude this week?
Yeah, especially if he's not if they're going to be underowned. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, this game
no, it doesn't.
Just has so much appeal to it and. It's pretty easy to, I think, stack them up. And then
second highest total of the week.
So yeah, you play Chargers and Raiders, and then you mix in Vikings and Packers around it, and you just win the millie? Is that what we're saying?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I like that call. Yeah. Are there any lower-owned guys that are not lower-owned, lower-tiered guys that are in the, below 6K? You know, because you have, like, Derek Carr, who's 5,900. You have, like, I will say the guy that I really like, if you really want to get a little bit different, is Jameis Winston at 5,300.
I like that.
Love that against the Falcons. I think you can pair him up, really cheap stack with, I think you go Kamara, and then from there, I think you could also go with a
Chris Olave. Say my dude. Oh, that okay. I don't. It's not that I dislike Olave, but we'll jump a little bit ahead, dude. I love Landry this week. They're gonna have Terrell and Hayward on the outside. I think Winston could pepper Landry in the middle.
Yeah. I don't even know how much he is.
He's not expensive. I want to say he's in the no man's land of, like, was he 5K, something like that? Like, there's a bunch of 5K receivers that nobody's going to play because they're in that tier. I could be
you
wrong.
Play Winston, are you playing, Michael Thomas?
I don't even know if
Thomas Michael
plays.
Thomas is going to play.
Yeah, agreed. If Thomas doesn't play, then Landry's going to move more outside. Then I'm probably just playing Kamara out of that game.
I'm probably going to fade that game, honestly. The game sounds like a disaster.
I've thought about Mariota only because, like, Atlanta's not going to be able to run the damn ball at all. So they're going to have to throw.
Yeah, that total was like a 44 or 45 earlier this week. It's a 42.5.
Oof. Okay.
It's plummeting. It's plumbing.
Yep. So I'm going to move off.
Derek, I know you had some possible Trey Lance interest when we talk offline. Yeah. That game's down to a 40 total.
It's down
like
to a 40?
Yeah,
because Kittle. That's why. Because Kittle. So. That's why they dropped it some more. I do like Lance. Kev, what are your thoughts about Lance? Because I have played around with the thought of playing him only because Chicago set. I mean, they're still starting Kendall Vador. I mean, we talked about that guy all last year. I mean, I know y'all did. I did not on this show, but I'm back now. But, I mean, what are your thoughts about Lance? Will you have any action there?
Not this week.
I just don't really like this game. Like, this game feels very much like a very slow-paced, low-scoring just type of game. Like, two teams that want to run the football. I just am not all that excited about it. I don't think Chicago, you know, depending on how much they're able to, you know, I don't think they're going to push the pace very much. And I don't know. I just don't really love it for this week. I mean, even as, I mean, he's already 6K. I mean, it's not like he's 5,300 or something like that. Like, being already up there at 6K, I think just makes me not want to play him. Anybody like that. Like I said, if I'm going to drop down below the 6K range, which I don't think there's really a need to do so with how soft some of this pricing is, I would go down to somebody like a Jameis Winston or maybe even like a Jared Goff at 5,400. Would be somewhere I would look this week if I was going to pay down.
I also thought Matt Ryan was interesting just because his pass catchers are also insanely cheap. So if he has a really good day, you're getting a ton of points out of a very, very cheap stack.
Because Pittman, it's easy leverage against JT too.
Yeah, Pittman's 5,500. Mo Alley Cox is like 3K.
He's
5,500 as well.
The only thing is, can Houston make them, you know, really have to open up this offense?
Yeah, and that's the scary part.
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, you would probably play Pierce and hope he scores twice, or Cooks and hope he, you know, has 100 and something yards and a touchdown. You have to run that back.
Yeah, because if not, like if the Colts get up early, like say they get a, I don't know, like a pick six or JT gets a long run and they bust out like 14-17 in the first quarter, Frank Reich's going to take the damn air out of the ball. He does it every time. That's the worry there. That's my even worry about even playing Pittman by himself.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be off that game. I mean, that also has a low Vegas total.
What's the total on it, Matty?
45.5, so it's mediocre. Mm. It's not low. It's mediocre.
I mean, I could see it getting lower. It just depends.
Yeah, because you've got Detroit and Philly is 48.5.
Oh, that's gone up. I think that opened at the Philly and Detroit game opened at like 47, I think. So that's good.
Green Bay, Minnesota is 47. Chiefs in Arizona is up to 54.
Oof.
And Raiders, Chargers, 52.5. Those are the top four of the week.
Well,
I think it's all the quarterbacks for me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's go ahead and jump over to the running backs. It's a good spot to jump over here. I think the biggest question is going to be for a lot of people is to play Jonathan Taylor or not play Jonathan Taylor at 9,100. I personally don't think you need to play him. I think there are plenty of running backs. Like, this is a very good slate for a lot of these players because there's a lot of running backs that I really like that are cheaper than him, and I think this opens up a little bit more. And so I have no problem with actually fading him. I get the matchup. It's an elite matchup against Houston. But, you know, I think Christian McCaffrey is in just as good of a spot at 8,500. I think, you know, we've already talked about Austin Eckler. But I think Alvin Kamara, we've talked about him already, but 7,600 is just incredibly too cheap against Atlanta. And then you have guys like, the James Conner, how much, especially in the passing game, especially with some of the injuries they have, how much action is he going to see at 7K? DeAndre Swift at 6,800. We've already talked about Aaron Jones. He's only 6,700. And then from there, I mean, Josh Jacobs is somebody that I actually really like against the Chargers. The Chargers were terrible against the run last year. And he's actually played really well against the Chargers in his career. He has five games, over 400 rushing yards and five touchdowns in his career against them. So he's done really good against them. But he's 6,300.
And they didn't do anything in the offseason. Like, they signed guys, but the guys they signed up front are still bad. So I think they're going to be bad versus the run this year.
Yeah. And then you have Saquon, who is completely mispriced at only 6,100.
Yeah, a lot of people are running back on the slate.
Yeah.
Are you going to play him though? Cause he's looking like mega chalk, Kev.
Not if he's going to make a chalk. Cause again, I just don't think you have to. Like I actually personally,
he's,
I think
he's the highest owned guy on the slate.
Well, so to me, it's like, why play him when I think there's other, if you want to go cheaper, like I love Antonio Gibson this week at 5,800 against Jacksonville without Brian Robinson. He's going to get the majority of the bulk of the work in that backfield. And, you know, he's cheaper at 5,800. And then you also have Travis Etienne, who I'm not buying the narrative of James Robinson about, you know, that I think they work him in very slowly. He's not going to, I don't think he eats in a lot of the work. And so I think Travis Etienne could see a ton of work in this game. He's only 5,600. Like, there are cheaper running backs, you know, that are cheaper than Saquon that I would just rather play. I mean, even if you want to go further down, I mean, you have Miles Sanders, who I don't mind at 5,400 against Detroit. And then you have CEH, who's 5,400. You have Elijah Mitchell, who's 5,400. Like, there's a lot of running backs that are – Chase Edmonds is 5,200. Like, there's a lot of running backs that are below him that –
Kev, you're getting into my love list right here. Like, this kind of, like, what is that, mid-5K range? That is probably the range I'm just going to, like, pound the hell out of. I'm going to over-own a lot of these guys. Like, I freaking love CEH and Chase Edmonds. I'm going to have a shit ton of them this week.
I love the – I'm going to call the 7K range this week no man's land because everybody's going to play, you know, the 55 to 6K guys, or they're just going to pay up to the 8K range. And I think this 7K is no man's land where nobody's going to play, you know, Aaron Jones and James Conner and guys like that. And I might just live there because I love both of those guys. And, I mean, even Swift there at 6,800, I think he's going to come in too low for what he should be against Philly.
It looks like the popular build, Maddie, is everybody is paying up for one of Jonathan Taylor or CMC, and they're pairing them with Saquon, and that's what they're going with. Like, the fact that I'm looking at these projected roster percentages, and Austin Eckler is sub 12, and Dalvin Cook is sub 6% is fucking egregious. Like, that shit is – James Conner is 6%. Give me all of that shit. Like, if these hold – I'm going to have so much Austin Eckler and Dalvin Cook and James Conner. It's going to be ridiculous. Like, going back to quarterbacks for a second, man, like, I know it's not usually plus EV, but both of these matchups on the ground for Conner and CEH are just fantastic. Like, if that game goes south and Mahomes doesn't hit, then it's probably because CEH and Conner both get in the end zone twice. So I am probably going to have a few where maybe I'm playing both of them in the same lineup. I've toyed around with that idea.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's a great mini stack, Conner and CEH together.
And I know it doesn't usually correlate, but, like, even what are we telling ourselves? So, like, you're really looking at that mini stack as if Conner is super involved, he's more of like a receiving option than he is a running back at that point. If he gets 7 or 8 targets in the damn game, then you're really playing a wide receiver with CEH is the way that I'll look at it.
Yeah, I mean, Conner's got the same exact argument as Aaron Jones, right? If your receivers are struggling to get open downfield and you've got a QB that will throw the ball to the running backs, because, you know, we've seen Kyler not take off and run as much, you know, over the last year or whatever. Yeah, they haven't had as many design scrambles, and he's more than happy to just dump the ball off to Conner. I mean, Conner had, you know, 9 targets in one game last year. So, if the wide receivers struggle to get open, it's, you know, it's a boost to the running backs that catch passes.
I don't have pricing pulled up. Where's Conner price versus Hollywood, guys?
Conner is 7K.
What's Hollywood, though? Is he in the mid-5s? Am I wrong? Or is he, like, 6 or something?
Marquise is 6'2".
So I'm kind of curious there. Like, do you think if everybody's looking even for a run back and stuff, do you think, like, Marquise as a run back option, like, will steal? That's what I'm saying. Like, Marquise gets super popular, and Conner's his roster percentage drops even further.
Yeah,
with the injuries there, like, Rondell's not playing, more people are going to flock to Marquise. Like, I think he could get chalky.
Not only that, I mean, we see this every single week, right, is when these top running backs garner, you know, most of the ownership up top, it just creates more ownership to the lower-priced wide receivers because that's where the natural build takes you. You have to play cheaper wide receivers when you play McCaffrey and when you play Jonathan Taylor, and people would rather play those high-end running backs because those are the running backs they're confident in, you know. Running back is a very much less confident position after you get past the first, you know, 5 to 10 guys. So, whereas wide receiver, you know, really anybody can go off on any given slate. So that's why, you know, we always see people flock to these McCaffreys and Jonathan Taylors, and it just locks you into a certain style of build. You can't really play the Justin Jeffersons of the world with the McCaffreys and Taylors and the Kelseys if you're trying to fit that in as well. So it just by default, you know, creates lower percentages on these guys that are, you know, 1K cheaper because, you know, if I go to a build and I'm like, oh, you know, I only need 1K more for Kamara or McCaffrey or something like that, as opposed to James Conner, I'm going to try to find it. That's what most people are going to say. So it's, I really think, you know, running backs in general just end up less popular than they should when you're not talking about the top end guys. because that's where ownership just tends to flock on a weekly basis is those top end guys. And for good reason, right? And it's the same argument as Jalen Hurts, right? Those guys can smash on any given week, but, you know, when they don't work out, you know, they score 15 to 17 points, you know, have an okay game, you're now ahead of the field, and that's really what you're going for to get is to bank a first place. So,
Kev, I'm kind of surprised, man. Are you surprised that Damian Pierce is not, like, popular? I thought he was going to come in popular, but maybe I'm just off on that.
I thought he was going to be too. Like, I thought he was going to be extremely chalky. I mean, he's 4,800.
Same, man. That's kind of shocking me.
It's probably because people, you know, kind of to your argument that you guys said is Houston can very easily get down immediately, right, in that game. And Pierce is not a pass-catching running back. They will gladly lean on Rex Burkhead.
I just figured people were going to, like, as much hype as he's garnered and he's cheap as shit. Like, I figured people were going to sit here and go to that.
4,800 isn't that cheap. I mean, it's cheap, but it's not a free square.
No, I get that, but, like, I was surprised, like, people were not going to pair him, like,
you know, was a free Saquon. Square? 4K Mike Davis was a free square, Kev.
It still lives. It still lives.
4K it never was. No, that was a
that
terrible.
Was a free square. And did he, it scored, work? He scored. Like four, he scored like no, 4 points.
He scored like 3 points.
Yeah. I'll still take that to the grave.
Oh, it's so funny.
No, but I am surprised. And I think it actually is probably more to do with one. I think there's options that are not very far away from him that people would rather play, like a Chase Edmonds type.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to get to them or even a CEH. And I also think it's just the unknown of Damian Pierce. Like, really, what's going to happen with him? How much opportunity is he going to get? It's not necessarily the best play either.
Playing a Houston running back doesn't really tickle your sack, you know?
No, but I will say this.
Making bets on Adam Gase does, though. Oof.
I've continued to say all of this entire time, especially the last couple of weeks when all the Damian Pierce hype has started. Or to me, I haven't really seen the hype. I've seen more of the just everybody just trying to shit on him the entire time. And the same thing I've said is, like, we've seen we've seen, like, James Robinson his rookie year. Ball the fuck out. And I'm not worried about Rex Burkhead. Like, Rex Burkhead's a bum, you know? And Damian Pierce is a capable pass-catching running back. Like, he was top 10 in college in yards per out run. Like he can definitely be a pass-catching running back. Like, he's not, you know, a Kenneth Walker type who that was very limited in that opportunity and stuff like that. So I'm not worried about that. I think the only concern with Damian Pierce is because, you know, in this game, like, can they keep it competitive to the point where they continue to run the ball?
Yeah.
So how much opportunity is he going to get?
Well, and I was telling Maddie, I'm just worried that Rex Burkhead throughout the gate is going to take the passing down work. So, I mean, that's my biggest concern about Pierce is we might think Burkhead is dust, but apparently the Texans don't. I mean, they gave the guy a damn contract extension, so they really don't. I mean, when you could sign a veteran running back that's old as garbage, and then you can pay him more money to hang around for more years, you have to do it, right? Like, that's the power move?
Apparently.
Yeah, well, some teams are just stupid. But
yep, agreed.
Anyways, yeah, I still don't think there's a need to play him, though. I'll say that.
No, agreed. Agreed. I mean, there's too many other good, like, 5K range guys. Like, I love, you know, like, if you're not going to play Edmonds or Edmonds sounds banged up, I'll play freaking Raheem Mostert. Like, the Patriots were terrible versus the run last year, like, in all facets. Like, they couldn't stop pass-catching running backs. They couldn't stop anybody on the ground. If you had speed, you were going for, you know, 100 and change versus the freaking Patriots. So, if Edmonds sounds like he's banged up, fine, I'll just play Raheem Mostert. Because who the hell is behind those two guys? Like, nobody. Like, we're not worried about Myles Gaskin and Salvin Ahmed. Like, if Edmonds is out, I'm going to have a lot of Raheem Mostert.
No, I think you can make an argument for that. Or it'll probably end up being Myles Gaskin, but, you know.
Oh, God, don't do that to me, Kev.
He's still there.
Oh, oof. Speaking of bad draft picks last year during draft season, a lot of people talked themselves into that one.
So let's do this. So we can move on to wide receiver. Give me your Just let's say top three running back plays.
Maddie, you want to roll with this first?
Not using the obvious CMC and JT, I will say Aaron Jones, James Conner, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I'm going to go Dalvin. If these roster percentages hold, I'm going to go Dalvin, Austin Eckler, and James Conner. Although Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like, if one of those gets popular, he bumps into the top three.
I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara, Antonio Gibson, and Travis Etienne are my three guys that I like the most.
I thought Jacobs was going to make that list for you, which he's very close. Really good. He's a damn good play. I'll say that. He's a really, really good play.
If I was stacking that game, I would have just run it back with him. I mean,
yep.
Like I said, the Chargers, they want you to run the ball, and they let you run the ball. Yep. They just don't give up anything deep in the pass game. They want to keep everything in front of them. And I mean, they were like the worst rush defense in the NFL last year. Week
17 or 18, he had like 30 carries and he busted like 130.
I played Jacobs last year against the Chargers, I think both times. And so I'm not a
first game he didn't
at all.
Do anything, but the last one he crushed.
And I mean, they cut Drake, and I know they have Abdullah and who's the other guy? The rookie, but
Zamir's not good. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Zamir's not good.
Derek just hates Zamir White. But the Raiders
he's
obviously
not
don't hate
good, him. Man. It's just it's
I don't know if you can say he's not good. I don't think you can say he's not good.
I can, yeah, I can easily say he's not good. Like he's not. Like,
I don't know.
Did you see the video clip that the Raiders social media used in preseason? And they were like, man, look at these moves by Zamir White. He gets into the open field. He runs into a straight line. He has one corner to juke and he runs straight into him. I'm like, what moves are we seeing here? Like, that's not the clip you need to use, Soch. Oh, God.
Yeah, well, anyway, another conversation for another day. But that doesn't matter. We're talking about week one. So, anyways, so okay, so those are our top three. Let's move over to wide receiver. So you have Devontae Adams at 8,100. I'm not going to do that. Justin Jefferson at 7,800. Debo Samuel at 7,400. Not doing that. Jamar Chase at 7,100. Keenan Allen 7K. And those are the 7K and above. And then you have in the 6K range, Tyreek at 68, Mike Williams at 66. Absolutely love that. Terry McLaurin at 6,500. Not doing that. AJ Brown at 6,400. Love that. And then Jalen Waddle at 6,400. Brandon Cooks at 63. Marquise Brown 62. Amon Ross St. Brown at 61. T. Higgins seems incredibly too low at 6,100. And then DJ Moore and Deontay Johnson wrap out the 6K range. So we're just going to play all of the AJ Brown, right? That's pretty much what we're doing this week. Is that where we're at?
I'm good with it.
I'm going to – we're looking at him sub 10%. What the – yeah, I'm going to have all the AJ Brown, baby. All of it.
I feel like he should be in the 7K range.
He should.
Yeah.
He should. He's grossly mispriced, and the fact that people are not playing – I don't understand. Like, Hurts is popular, but AJ Brown isn't. Like, that's just bad. Yeah.
I think Philly's going to throw the ball a lot more than people are expecting this year. Everybody, when they talk about Philly, they're like, oh, they're just going to be – they're just a run-first offense. Like, that's not what they wanted to be last year. That's what they had to be because of the limited pass catchers they had. Like, they didn't have the offense. And, like, I think you see some of this very similar to, you know, other times this happened. Like, you know, when Diggs got traded to the Bills and we saw, you know, Josh Allen kind of take this big step forward from there. You know, having an elite wide receiver, and now I think I view AJ Brown as an elite level talent. He's had some trouble staying healthy, and he's been on a Titans offense. I think we see Jalen Hurts take this step forward this year as a passer, and I think they start throwing the ball a lot more. And so AJ Brown at 6,400 just seems incredibly too cheap. And I mean, really, to me, like if you're going to stack him, I just love the stack of AJ Brown, Hurts, and Goddard. Like it's just like I love that stack a lot this week.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it. I think that's how you get past the chalk. You either full game stack it or you double stack him. You get different. You don't just single stack him, which it looks like everybody's doing it. A few guys I like here before we kind of get to the Juju versus MVP.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, conversation. It's not a conversation. Oh, it is a conversation. Ahead. I mean, it isn't in the fact that, like, Juju should not be, he's not a good play. So you're right in that aspect, Kev. Getting back to it, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are fantastic smash plays. I love both of them. I like Christian Kirk a good bit too. Him and Kadarius Toney. But the thing about Kadarius Toney is he's looking like he's going to be popular. And the other thing about a Kadarius Toney, me playing Kadarius Toney also matters whether Shepard plays or doesn't, because how I'm projecting them. Like, if Shepard doesn't play, I think Toney plays more on the outside. And the role that I want out of that game is I want the slot receiver, because Tennessee was bottom three against slot wide receivers last year. Like, they were legit the worst in the league, and they have the same slot corners this year. Like, Elijah Molden is garbage. So it's either going to be Toney or it's going to be Wandell, depending on what Sterling does. Because if Sterling plays, I think he plays the outside. So one of those guys I'm going to have a lot of interest in. I love the A.J. Brown call. We talked about Amon-Ra. I love Christian Kirk because it looks like, at least the way they're projecting it, that Benjamin St. Juste is going to maybe play the slot. He's big and he's slow. So I like Kirk being able to just rip him apart in the slot. And his target per route run numbers in the preseason were stupid. Like, I think it was like 36% for Kirk. So I think Law is going to sit there and just zero in and pepper his ass. So like Christian Kirk a good bit. I'm trying to think of anybody else before we get to the KC guys.
Think Tyreek at 6,800, I think, is actually, it could be a pretty sneaky play. Like, New England's secondary, I don't think is as good as it was. Especially with losing J.C. Jackson, like that's kind of a big blow to that secondary. And I mean, Tyreek at 6,800, it seems really cheap for him. And I think you hit him on a couple deep, or how just explosive he is. Anyways, I mean, he can take the ball to the house anytime he gets the ball in his hand. So just at 6,800, it feels very way too cheap for him. And what
where
his upside
is coming
brings.
In at? Goof, is he? Where is he at? 10%? Man, it's not bad. I can get behind that. I like Tyreek.
Yeah, and then if you're going to play one of the top wide receivers, one of the top ones, it's Justin Jefferson, right? Like, there's no debate. But to me, there's no debate. Like, I'm not playing Deebo Samuel. You get all the way the fuck out of here with $7,400.
No,
I get what he did last
Deebo.
Year, but that's what you're paying for. You're paying for last year's production, and I don't think he's going to be nearly the guy that he was last year. I don't see it with this offense, the way this offense is going to function, and so I'm not paying $7,400. For Deebo Samuel.
If I do go with the Lance stack, then I'd play Ayuk with him. I would play Deebo.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about Ayuk. I do like Ayuk as a one-off. Because I think that we've heard all through camp, Lance loves him. The way that Chicago gets beat is going to be deep. And I think Ayuk, that's the role that he's going to play. So even if he gets 5 or 6 targets, if he pays off, he takes one for a deep score, he could still end up with 100 and a tutty. So I'm I'm okay with Ayuk.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, I already talked about Mike Williams. Love him. If I'm going to play a Chargers wide receiver, he's the guy that I want that I want to play.
Love him.
From that offense.
Will you double stack Herbert, Kev?
I think
is that a must?
If I'm going to, it's going to be with Austin Eckler.
Okay. So you wouldn't double him with Keenan and Mike?
I'd do Palmer and Mike before I did Keenan and Mike.
Why? Just for the salary?
Yeah, because of salary. Because of what you're paying for Keenan Allen's 7K. So you need a 30 burger from him.
And I'm just rolling it around in my head, and we're talking about familiarity and rapport. It's the same
argument. When you have these two guys that cost so much, it goes back to the argument we always had.
Is it the Evans versus Godwin argument?
No, it's the DK and Lockett with Russ argument. They both just cost so much that you just need one of them to smash. And generally it's, you know, the other one can have a solid game to where he's not going to kill you, but you're not going to win tournaments paying that much for a guy that gets you, you know, 13 points. Right.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
It's, I like to, if I'm stacking an expensive guy, pair it with a cheap guy that's stacked as well. And now you can play Eckler with Williams because Eckler can get there without, you know, stealing passing work. So Herbert can throw three touchdowns and Eckler can run two in or catch one as well. So, you know, I don't mind that at all, but it's when I just get concerned when you know, Mike Williams isn't cheap. He's 6,600 and Keenan Allen 7K. Like that's two high price guys that you're asking a lot from, coming from the same offense.
To be optimal, they both got to go like 120, 130 and both hit like a score or two.
Yeah. So yeah, you definitely need 100 yards and a touchdown, or multiple touchdowns from from one guy, and all the yards from the other guy. It's just you need too many dominoes to fall right for you for that to work out. And you know, one week or two, it may burn me to where you know both guys go nuclear, but I most of the time it's just going to work out to where one of them. It's same conversation for Jefferson and Thielen too. Like, and Thielen's a little bit cheaper, so you know. He's kind of borderline to where you can make that work, because this week he's only 5,400, whereas normally he's like 6,65 or 7K, and Jefferson's 8K. So,
I was surprised Thielen was as popular as he is.
Yeah, he's pretty cheap. But if you go through and look at, it's the same story with them too. If you go through and look at Jefferson's spike weeks, those were correlated with Thielen's kind of down weeks. So it's same story for them. And I love Jefferson this week. I mean, he put up a 40 burger against Green Bay last year, and he's just watched Cooper Kupp go off on the first night of the week, and you know, I'm sure he's going to want to get out there and match him.
You brought up a really good point too, man. Is like, if you're going Cousins or Herbert, like we already talked about, going Eckler or going Dalvin, and then pick a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally good with that. Or you know, something I talk about all the time is just forcing the tight end in with the QB that I play, because a lot of times if the QB is throwing three or four touchdowns, the tight end is catching one or two of them, because tight ends are heavily, heavily utilized down at the goal line. So it's, you know, Irv Swerve, maybe we can talk about that when we get to tight end, but there's definitely cheap options that you can pair with these QBs too, to where that you can still double stack them without using, you know, the two high price guys on their team. So, yeah, I tend to side against pairing the two studs, because usually the studs spike. When one spikes, the other doesn't. And, you know, T. Higgins and Chase, that's another one. You know, when Chase goes 40 points, T. Higgins gets like eight. So
the only time, when do we see them hit together, was the Baltimore
Burrow
game.
Six touchdowns.
Burrow like went just
and like I said, mode. That's going to happen every once in a while. But, you know.
The DK Lockett call, the correlation you made there was sharp as hell. Absolutely agree.
Yep. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I like a lot of the same guys that you guys do. AJ Brown and Amon-Ra is a fun mini. Juju or MVS and mini it with Marquise Brown. That's a fun one. You can even stack that game without using the quarterbacks. Like, you can play both running backs and play one of the Chiefs wide receivers like Juju or MVS and play Marquise Brown. And that's a relatively cheap stack to run Connor, CEH, Marquise and Juju or MVS, and you're getting four guys from the highest total of the week. And those guys, none of those guys are projected to be, you know, slate breaking ownership. So it's that's a fun mini that I, you know, was just clicking around with on my end, and think that that makes sense. And then obviously, you know, you're going to see every article you click on this week is going to mention Michael Pittman at 5,500. So it's, it just gets to the point where it's like, sure, you play him, he's a good play, but I probably will end up with none just for the sake of being different.
I mean, okay. Shit, he's at 22%. He's going to get even higher.
Wait, Michael Pittman's at 22%?
He's the highest owned
wide receiver. Him and Rondell Moore's not going to play, but yeah.
And Rondell being out, Pittman's going to gain some more steam then, yeah. Probably.
I love Michael Pittman. I am the
I do too, but Michael I ain't playing Pittman him at that. Stand,
but I am not playing him at that
price. No, he will be the highest owned wide receiver. Absolutely.
No, it's an
easy, easy thing.
He's got the redraft. I mean, he's what, a third round pick, second round pick? Like,
I saw him go late second in some best balls that I did today. He's
everybody
been
in
the
week
high
one,
third.
Yeah, everybody in week one wants to play the guys they've been hyped up on all offseason, and Pittman's one of those big, big spike guys from the Matt Ryan coming over. So, and he's good. Like, he's a good wide receiver. Don't get me wrong, but it's the same conversation as Jalen Hurts is.
D-Bro, your entire – I mean, you have so much bias against Juju Smith-Schuster. It is ridiculous. It started off with, it's Sky Moore. Sky Moore over Juju, right? And, okay, now we're to week one. It's like, okay, I have to keep this hate going. This hate just exudes you for Juju Smith-Schuster. And now we're like, oh, now it's MBS that I'd rather play. So you, I guess, tell me why, and I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Okay, what's the adage, Kev? When do we play MBS versus teams that are bad against what? Tell me that.
Come on, never, because you can't catch.
Jesus. Okay, the correct answer, sir, is versus the deep ball. Every time that MBS goes off, it's because of deep strikes.
Right.
Cardinals were terrible last year versus the deep ball, like bottom five. And everything that you look at, passer rating, completion rate, yards, touchdowns, everything. And they didn't do a damn thing to make their cornerback room better. And so you have Travion Mullen on the outside. You have Marco Wilson, who gave up 8 receiving touchdowns last year. Eight. Like, MBS is also, where's he at projected right now? Where the hell is he? I got to search him. Oh, look at that. I see Juju Smith-Schuster. He's at 10%. Oh, jeez, look at that. MBS is only 2%. So I can definitely say that I'm not going to be a fish this week. I'm not going to be a chalk donkey. I'm not going to play Juju. Byron Murphy is actually good in the slot, Kev. Like, you take the two games where nobody stops Cooper Kupp, legitimately nobody. Byron Murphy, like, Cardinals were one of the best teams against the slot last year. And the only time you take Byron Murphy out of the slot and he's bad. Put him in the slot, and he is a very, very good slot corner. Much less like, yeah, I mean, the Juju's hate is it's justified, Kev. He hasn't been good in 3 seasons. He hasn't. Like,
yeah, look, as soon as we start talking about Juju, all the porn bots come in, and they're like.
Well, because they hear the audible boner that you get when we bring up Juju. They hear it. You can hear it in the audio, Kev.
Okay, listen. This is what I'll say. Like, can MBS pay out? Yes, because you know, you can have Patrick Mahomes hit him. But the other thing is, I mean, Mecole Hardman's still there too. Like, Mecole Hardman could definitely be somebody that takes some of that opportunity.
Are you playing Mecole Hardman?
I mean, it would depend on how many teams I would play. I mean, I think you could have some exposure to him. I mean, I think it would be.
No. Are you going to play some Mecole Hardman in week one? Tell me that.
I'll probably have a couple lineups with him in there.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, he's going to be involved. Like, the thing is, the way that I see this more likely playing out, like I've said before, like, it's going to take Sky Moore a lot of time to really get involved in this offense.
Unfortunately,
it's
going to
run through Juju. Obviously, Kelsey, but we don't talk about that. That's obvious. But, like, it's going to run through Juju. And MBS is going to get, is going to get targets. But so is Mecole Hardman. Like, Mecole Hardman is definitely going to be working in. And getting opportunities, they're going to get him on those jet sweeps and all the other stuff they try to do. He's going to get some of the stuff that they do to Tyreek with him. you know, end arounds and all this other, you know, gadget type stuff that they like to do. And so Mecole Hardman's going to be involved. And so it's not like, and they're pretty similar, I believe, in price as well between the two of them. And they're all really, all three of them are not really all that far off from each other in terms of there's not like, because what, MVS or Juju's what, 5,200, MVS is 4,700, and Mecole Hardman is what, 4,600. Okay. So they're all right around each other. And so I think having a little bit of, you know, if you want to mix up this a little bit and kind of go with a couple of these guys, because I don't have like a clear like read. I do think that everything we heard from camp and from some of the guys that I trust that follow this team that do a very good job with it is that Juju Smith-Schuster is their number one target, is Patrick Mahomes' number one target outside of Travis Kelce. And so I don't think he's just going to play the slot. Like I think they're going to move him all over the field. Like he's not going to just strictly play the slot like he did in Pittsburgh. And I also think there's also something more that we could see from him that maybe he can be a little bit more of a downfield threat than we ever saw with, but because nobody was a downfield threat really with Big Ben, you know, there in that offense. And so I do think Juju can be utilized a little bit differently than what we've seen him in his career with his, you know, 6.5 average depth of target and, you know, stuff like that, and playing 70% of his snap from the slot. So I think the most likely outcome is that Juju Smith-Schuster is the leading target getter in this offense. Again, not named Travis Kelce, because Travis Kelce is going to just absolutely eat. And I think the move would be, if I'm pairing Patrick Mahomes, would be go Patrick Mahomes, Kelce, and then pick one of these wide receivers. Now, if Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be 10%, is it? Going Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I don't think is a terrible call. Like I don't think that it's a terrible play, because again, he could go out, he could catch a 60-yard touchdown, and at $4,700, he kind of pays off that price a little bit. Or I think, you know, if you want to go Mecole Hardman, I think he's also an option at $4,600. It's different with this, because usually the Chiefs stack is tough, right? Because you always had to make that decision between Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Or if you played all three of them, then you really, you know, you're making concessions other places. This year, at least as of right now, you don't have to do that with this offense, because it's Kelce and then it's Mahomes. And then if you want to pick another option, or even if you want to go CEH, I don't know. The thing that scares me about CEH is that I just don't know if they're going to give him the type of work that we're looking for. Like, I think he's going to see the early down work. He's not going to see the pass catching work. Everybody wants him to see the pass catching work. Everybody wants this for him. And it's like, oh, he was a great pass catcher in college. The Chiefs clearly don't give a shit, because we have multiple years now of them just not utilizing him that way. He doesn't get goal line opportunities. And so, like, I don't know. You know, like, it's just like, so that makes it tough to want to play him. And so for me, like, I think, like I said, just pairing him up with one of these other options, I think, is the way to go.
See, and the more we kind of talk through it, Kev, the more I think, the more that we talk through this slate, the more that I think that the quarterback running back combos really seem enticing, man. Like, the way that you get past Patrick Mahomes' high price is if we play CEH and then you play MBS, like stack him that way and then bring it back with Connor. I like a lot, because Kelsey's going to be chalk. Marquise Brown is going to be mega chalk now. And I think that you're getting low owned and you're getting cheap. But I'm curious y'all's thoughts with that.
I'm good with it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kev, I mean, yeah. And
am I crazy for that?
No, I don't think that is crazy. It's just, like I said, the only thing that's just the stuff that worries me with CEH. But, you know, I still think he could see, you know, four or five targets. It's just going to come early, you know, on downs, because he's not going to play a third down.
Yeah, I think what helps him – I'm going to close this door. I think what helps him a lot is that Kansas City, and that's one of my pushbacks that's been everybody that said he's not going to play third down, is that you have a Chiefs offense that over the last 2 years has been top six in passing rate on first and second downs. So I think that he can get some targets, but he's going to get them on early downs. Like, I don't care if he doesn't see the third down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. At the end of the day, yeah. Then I guess the only other thing that would be, is he going to get the goal line opportunities or even the red zone?
That's a good question.
Because we saw it even in preseason that as soon as they got down there, they pulled them. And you saw Pacheco check in, and then that's when you also saw, like, McKinnon would mix in as well. I feel like, I think the way this running back room is going to work is it's going to be CH, it's going to be Pacheco, and then it's going to be McKinnon. And I actually think Ronald Jones is going to be a healthy scratch.
Yeah, I do too. I think Rojo's going to be out.
Yeah. And so I think those three, I think, but I don't have any lean, and I don't think you can actually, I mean, I wouldn't play like Isaiah Pacheco.
Well, so the lineup story, at least I'm kind of telling myself with like the build that I'm playing around with my head for them is, Chiefs get up by either throwing and run, or they get up by throwing. So you go single stack to Mahomes, and then they could beat the crap out of the Cardinals. Like, Cardinals
are missing a lot of touchdown.
I mean, they, if
six-point favorites.
If they beat the crap out of them, and Rojo is not, if he's a healthy scratch, Kev, like if they're beating them by 14 points and they're up late, they could run CEH a little bit more in garbage time, and he could crush in that way. It's the game script that I'm telling myself for it.
Yeah. Okay. So is there any other wide receivers you want to talk about? Like, we've already talked about some of these kind of the cheaper options, like Chris Olave. I love him at 4,500. I've been putting him in a lot of my lineups, just because of that, I think, deep threat, that rapport that he had, or not rapport, but that I think Jameis Winston's best attributes are, ooh, you know, passing to the outside and his deep ball, right? And so if Chris Olave can catch one for 50 yards, you know, I think, you know, we're going to be good to go there. But cheaper guys like than that, like it's hard for me to want to get down to the 3K range this week. I just don't know if it's really necessary. If it's a stack, right? Like the Joshua Palmer call, I don't mind that at all. I think that is a fair play. I think he's in play in that stack at 3,800. But if I was going to go down here, like to this range, if Deontay Johnson doesn't play, George Pickens becomes a very good play at $4,100. He looked great in camp, but I don't know if Deontay Johnson's going to play. They've been kind of going back and forth. There was one report earlier today that he was trending towards maybe not playing, but then all the other reports from even the players and everything else said how great he looked today. And that, you know, I think the Matt Canada said that they are hoping to have him out there. But if he doesn't play, then I think George Pickens at $4,100 would be hard to get away from, because then it becomes a little bit more condensed between him and Claypool. And so, but at $4,100, that makes it a little bit easier to get to. And then, like, if you really want to get different, like, I don't know, I guess if you did have a Matt Ryan stack, maybe going like with an Alec Pierce, you know, if he's going to be like the number two option, there's been a lot of talk about him, and he very well could be the number two wide receiver on this team. And he's not going to be owned at all, but he's $3,900. But outside of that, like, I just can't get to a lot of these guys, because it's just like, I don't know. Like, I know there's been some, you know, Jahan Dotson, you know, if you wanted to do that, but like, he's 3,400, but I don't know. Like, I just feel like that is extremely risky on a slate where you just don't need to go down there, I think.
I don't think you need to go there, but there are two guys that I will say in game stacks that I do have interest. I'm kind of surprised Elijah Moore is not getting any love. I do have, he's interesting in like a Lamar as far as like a run back. Or we didn't talk about Michael Carter. I think he's interesting as well in a game stack. But two other guys, to your point about Alec Pierce, I like Paris Campbell. If you're going to sit here and go mini correlations, or you're looking for leverage, Desmond King in the slot is bad. He's terrible. So I think that he makes some sense, but there's a lot of risk. So the random name, and Maddie probably knows where I'm going to go with this. And again, looking at this in game stacks, man, I'm going to have some Braxton Berrios, as crazy as that sounds, but the Baltimore outside corners are really good. Marcus Peters is really good. So is Marlon Humphrey. Garrett Wilson is not playing. Like, he was not the starter in the slot. Kendall Fuller has been bad, and he's the new nickel corner for the Ravens. So I think just by attrition,
he's even still in the league.
I can't, dude, he was quietly like really, really good. And I know it sounds insane, but like, his route win rates were super stupid high. Like, he's been really efficient, although he's like the most unsexy of unsexy names. He makes some sense, man. I'm going to have some Braxton Berrios, as crazy as it sounds like.
Yeah, I think there's three bottom of the barrel guys, and it totally depends on injuries. And that's Wandale if Sterling Shepard's out, because I would assume he would just play the slot. And then the two Arizona guys, if Rondale Moore misses, Isabella and Greg Dortch. I mean, they run, you know, the highest percentage of four wide receiver sets, and Ertz is banged up. So it's like they literally have to play these wide receivers. So they're going to
go there. Or would you just go AJ Green?
Well, they're all going to be on the field, but AJ Green costs more than those two guys.
I think it's Dorch for me.
How much is AJ Green? I didn't even look.
He's 46.
I didn't even look.
46?
I can't believe he's that expensive, man.
Isabella and Dorch are both 3K. They're both men price. Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to be on the field now. Granted, they could get only four targets.
Dude, like, Dorch had a really good preseason, man. They like him a lot.
He was a beast in college, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I can get behind some Dorch and game stacks.
That's totally depends on Rondale Moore, but it sounds like he's not going to play considering he has to go get an MRI.
MRI'd on a Thursday. You're not playing on Sunday, dude.
There's no shot. So,
No.
I just, with how popular Rondale Moore was going to be, though, I think probably Isabella and Dorch are going to pick up some steam.
Do you think it's both?
It'll probably be a mix of both because people don't know which one to play.
But then do they cancel each other out and they're both end up around like 5 or 6%?
They do, but they also, what they do is when you play a 3K guy is you can very easily get in Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey. So you're now going to be, it's just going to boost the high price running backs even more when you have a cheap, super cheap wide receiver like that.
How much though? We're
fading CMC and JT this week, it sounds like to me.
I am, yes.
Yeah. How much ownership, though, do you think from Rondale Moore goes to AJ Green?
Oh, definitely a little bit. I mean,
is this surprising to you? Like, I didn't.
Someone's
going to
go to Marquise Brown, too.
Because I don't care about AJ Green, but at this point of his career, I didn't realize he almost had 1,000 receiving yards last year.
And it was the ugliest 1,000.
I was pulling up all of a sudden. I was like, he had 850 receiving yards.
Yeah, that's the Cardinals' offense. That's what they do. They just spread it out and just chuck it.
Yeah,
but they don't really have bodies to do it. I mean, no Hopkins,
you tell me,
no
Kev,
Rondale,
so
no Wesley.
The interesting thing about AJ Green is if you look at where his fall off and how dusty he was last year, how much you would know better than most. How much zone does Kansas City run? I think they're kind of mixed, aren't they? A mix of the two.
Yeah, but they Spagnuolo loves man.
Okay. I'm asking because if you look at, and I only know this because I looked at AJ Green in the offseason, his yards per route run versus man coverage are worst in the league. But his yards per route run versus zone are still really good. So it's kind of like, do you fire him up versus zone heavy teams if Rondale's going to be out? And if I just don't remember off the top. I'm going to have to go look at it, but I don't remember off the top of my head how much. I want to say Kansas City's kind of a mix.
So, but I could see them playing more zone early on because of how young this secondary is. Because you have Trent McDuffie, their first round pick, and then
do you think he starts?
Yeah, because I mean they don't really have a whole lot of, because it's gonna be different. I don't know what they're gonna. I don't know.
Zone's harder to play though for a younger guy. Man, you just cover your guy and just run around. Zone, you gotta know your assignments and
I got to go back and look at what McDuffie did in college. Oh, I'm going to have to go down the rabbit hole now.
But you have him.
I mean, it's an important
Rashad
piece
Fenton
of the
may
puzzle.
Not play because he got hurt in the preseason. So that would
really?
Take him out.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to look at that. Okay.
And then you have
so that's
going to
put Snead on the outside?
But I don't think he is. I think they're going to keep him on the inside. I think he is going to continue to play.
So they're going to be running out, McDuffie and another backup?
It would be Joshua Williams, who was another guy they drafted this year.
Yeah, but he was a fifth round pick, I think.
Yeah, but they love him. They dropped DeAndre Baker. They cut him, so he's gone. Yeah. They also, they made a lot of cuts. So this
we see
really
rookies struggle at the gate, dude. Like these rookie corners, very few of them ever hit the ground running like week one, and they're studs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, shit, damn it, Kev, you're talking to AJ Green.
Well, I mean, figuring out Arizona, I think it's an important piece to the week because they're all very, very cheap. I mean,
yeah.
Their price is Marquise is $6,200. No, that's not that expensive. AJ is $4,600, and then everybody else is $3,000.
But nobody's going to play AJ Green. They're going to go a million other spots.
Yeah,
we talk about rapport. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. As ugly as that sounds, it makes sense.
Yeah, and at least Murray played with Marquise in college, so that's a little bit of rapport.
Right now, it looks like it's probably going to be it's going to be Snead and it's going to be McDuffie. Fenton, if he doesn't play, you're going to, like I said, it'll be Joshua Williams. Because then past that, their other corners are Jalen Watson and Chris LeMond's are their other corners. And then I could Hollywood see them, though, because Justin Reed can play some of that nickel like slot,
yeah, that's true.
Some of that stuff. Yeah. Who they signed this year, and then they still have Juan Thornhill, and then they have some other guys. But so right now, like, you're looking at probably if Rashad Fenton's out, you're going to have Trent McDuffie and Joshua Williams, the outside corners, and then Legarius Sneed on the inside.
So the question is then, are you going to eat the Hollywood chalk? Because you know he's going to be chalky now. Do we have to? I feel like we kind of can, because the rest of that game is impossible. Yeah,
if I'm stacking that game, absolutely, you can play him.
But not play him as a one-off then.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him as a one-off.
Yeah, I like that. Or maybe you just play him as a mini with CEH, something like that, or MBS.
I really like the idea of CEH and Juju, or CEH and MBS, and run it back with Connor and Marquise. Because Connor and Marquise are going to be that whole offense, right?
Yep.
That is the entire Kansas City offense, or the Arizona offense this week.
Yep, I don't disagree.
And then on the KC side, if it's not Kelce, it's going to be one of the running backs and one of the wide receivers. So, yeah. I mean, it's high still a game of the week. There's going to be points scored.
I love the fact. I love how much leverage is in that game.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, that's what I say.
The chalk is so damn consolidated on Kelce in some of these spots. Like, the leverage that you can get off of this game is just ridiculous. It's just, I don't know. I'm kind of scratching my head, guys. Like,
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I thought Chargers and Raiders would be popular. I thought people would be playing KC more, but they're not. Apparently, they still hate Mahomes. I don't know how many years we have to sit here and understand that you just play Patrick Mahomes. Don't be dumb. Play Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is honestly, it makes me really, really love this damn slate.
I agree.
Well, speaking of Kelce, let's go ahead and just, why don't we jump over to tight ends? Okay. So we have Mark Andrews, who's the highest or the most expensive at 68, and then Kelce's only 66, which is going to lead more to that. And then if Kittle doesn't play, then you have a drop off. Oh, not a drop. Then you have Pitts at 5,700, Waller at 5,400. Then you have the drop off to Hockenson, Gesicki, which no thanks. Dallas Goedert, who I absolutely love, at 4,500. Then you have guys like Zach Ertz, who's questionable. Patty Fry, Robert Tonyan, who's questionable. And that best guy's kind of the list. Walido, you're supposed to be on this, okay? As soon as these people get in here, you're supposed to block them. Walido's our admin. He's you know.
What is he blocking? Was he blocking the porn bots?
Yeah. he's not blocking them. He's supposed to be blocking them.
Yeah. He has one job, and he doesn't.
You had one job. One job. That's it.
So, anyways. So
somehow we're going to get tight end talking here, right?
Yeah. Speaking of tight ends.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
No, he did not go there.
We're talking about Adam Gase and a feather and tickling.
No, we're talking about Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
That still was
baby.
A legendary.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico. You remember that story, Maddie?
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
All right. Who are we going with?
We won't bring it up. Well, I can tell you I'm not going to play probably much of Travis Kelce. My four-pack of guys is Hockenson, Goddard, Andrews, and Waller, and then I'll correlate with my quarterbacks. So like Maddie was talking about, Gerald Everett and Irv is kind of where I'm going this week.
Can I interest you in a David Njoku?
Yes, for sure.
You can. Talk me into it, Kev. Talk me into it.
I just think Jacoby Brissett has been a player, you know, in his career that has targeted tight ends a bunch over his career. Mm-hmm. And so and he's 3,900. There's not a whole lot
Dear
there.
God, he's that damn cheap?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3,900. Okay.
Can I,
all right, okay.
Kev, can I interest you in a Njoku DJ Moore mini stack correlation? DJ Moore with Baker. That DJ Moore just feels like the receiver that is going to absolutely smash with Baker. And I know Baker typically has not supported, you know, a ton of wide receivers. But it's just DJ Moore is such a yards after catch guy, and Baker's just such a let me get the ball out quick and let my receivers make the plays kind of quarterback, right? It's just,
I mean,
it feels like
all those other wide receivers are dusty, man. Like Robbie is terrible. I love Terrace, but he's not been a thing. Like, yeah,
I mean,
DJ Moore is all. DJ Moore is awesome leverage off of CMC too, baby. Yeah. I love that call. That's a good call.
If you're playing Njoku, I really like DJ Moore on the other side. We didn't talk about him at all, but if you're looking for an excuse to play him, I absolutely would love correlating those two together.
I like the Njoku call. I didn't know he was that damn cheap. I haven't looked at him yet.
Yeah, he's cheap. I like the Irv Smith call too with Kirk Cousins on Cousins teams.
Packers have been really bad versus, they run a lot of zone. They're bad versus tight ends. They've been bad versus tight ends for multiple seasons.
And
the same thing with the Raiders. The Raiders are going to be, the Raiders are going to be insanely zone heavy. They have Patrick Graham from the Giants. They were zone heavy last year because they had what's his nuts? Oh God, what's his freaking name? He was a head coach former. Anyway, they ran a crap ton of zone last year. They're going to run a lot of zone this year. I like Everett a lot.
I don't hate Everett with a Herbert and Mike Williams.
Yep.
Instead of Palmer.
Or you go Herbert, Everett, Mike Williams, Eckler, and then throw Everett on there.
I think Everett is a very sneaky call.
I like that a lot.
He's been some, even like they're like, you know, season long stuff. Like nobody's actually talked about him. Like, and like you look at the, you know, the
4%.
He's a good pass catcher.
Garrett Cook. Remember who they had last year?
Yeah.
I mean, he got like 85 targets in that offense last year. Like, dude, nobody talked about that at all.
Herbert loves tight ends.
And Gerald Everett, super athletic tight end.
That scheme is made for tight ends.
Herbert throws so many touchdowns to tight ends.
So actually, I think, I mean, Everett's 3,800, which I think is right around where Palmer is. So really, I think going Herbert, Mike Williams, and Gerald Everett would actually be.
Yeah, because then you're not blowing a wide receiver spot on a $3,800 guy.
I like it.
Your two tight ends.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And then you run it back with Josh Jacobs and we all win the bunnies.
I like it. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Anytime you're attaching your tight end to your QB, I am absolutely 100%.
Dude, you've called that for years and it's always freaking hit. Like, what was the one week you were playing some backup garbage ass tight end? I think it was like Atlanta or somebody like that, or gosh, I forget. It was like the bottom of the depth chart, dude. And you were like, I'm playing him. I don't give a shit. And then he goes for like 50 and a touchdown. I'm like, all right, fine. Bow down. There you go, Maddie.
It was a mid-price guy. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember.
Oh, dude. Some absolute
I can't remember what
freak.
His name was, but I was like, after I saw that, I was like, okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, God, that was funny.
You remember what year that was? Was that 2020?
2020, I think. Yeah. It wasn't last year. I think it was a year before. That was hilarious, though.
I'm going to find it.
Anybody else you like out of here, Kev? Are you playing Kelsey? Are you eating that chalk?
Jaden Graham.
No, it was Jaden Graham. That's exactly Jaden freaking Graham of all the randos of randos. But it was right, man. It was a good call.
I mean, I don't think I'll have... I mean, I'll have some because I'm not an idiot. I'm not just gonna, you know, if I have some, you know, so I'm obviously gonna have my home stacks, so I'm gonna have some Travis Kelce. I'm not just gonna, you know, completely fade him, but I'm gonna be underweight to whatever, you know, his ownership is. Because for me, I think my favorite tight ends are, you know, Goddard for sure. I absolutely love Goddard at his price. He's only 4,500. That is way too cheap. I think he should be up here in the 5K range of guys. I like Njoku, and then, like I said, like you know, especially in stacks, I like Gerald Everett a lot. I think that's a very good play. And then Irv Smith, I think, you know, in some stacks with Cousins, I think makes a lot of sense. But you know, I have to bring him up because I bring him up every show for the past like eight shows we've done. But Brevin Jordan at 3,100. Or, you know,
Mo'Ali Cox from that game.
Yeah. And then are we playing Dan Arnold? Is this a Dan Arnold week? I don't think it is. I don't think we have to.
This is a Dan Arnold show, but I can't with how he was utilized behind Ingram. I can't.
I thought Arnold was going to be utilized in tandem, or he was going to have a good camp. He was quiet all camp. All they talked about was, it sounds like they're going to freaking force feed Evan Ingram, although Evan Ingram is not good anymore. But so yeah, I can't play our love list, Dan Arnold.
What about if George Kittle misses? What about this? And this is a show favorite here. This is one that goes back to a few years ago. I can't remember. Was that either 2019 or 2020? I think it was 19. Tyler Croft.
Oh God.
Oh, Tyler Croft.
He is on San Francisco. He's 2,700.
You can play players from the lowest total game of the week. I'm not going to do it. I'll play the $2,200 Bears defense.
Right, but I mean, what would you really need? Let's say he went. He goes 4 for 30 and a score at $2,700.
Six or seven points. Yeah. I mean, he probably needs to like. He gets you like one catch for 10, and he gets in the end zone. Then you're fine. Like you're not dead in the water. Yeah. But you're assuming that no tight ends go ham too.
Yeah, correct. I mean, you don't have to do it at all. I just saw him, and I'll always have a special place for Tyler Croft because I think they were playing the Browns. I think if I remember correctly, and the Browns were terrible against tight ends, and he was starting, and I know I was all over it. And
he caught two touchdowns that day.
Yeah, there were some people in the industry that I heard were just shitting all over the Tyler Croft play, and like you're a fish if you play him and all this other stuff.
Kev, do you remember when we talked about Josh Allen when he was getting his first start in his rookie year? And we talked about he was men priced as a QB, and we were talking about
Robert Foster,
upside.
Baby. Robert Foster, I remember that.
You know, everybody was saying take our head-to-heads because we were playing Josh Allen and how awful of a quarterback he is. Well, how the turntables.
People said the same shit to me last year when I played Tyler Huntley versus the Packers, and I was like, oh, okay.
Dude, that game was the nuts.
They didn't want no head-to-heads after that week, baby.
That game was the nuts.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's all the tight ends. I don't think, you know, we don't want to spend that much longer on tight ends. So, defense. We're
Bears,
just going to play.
I'm good.
Yeah, that's
move on.
Men. Just give me men. Like, I will not go above. I'll play the Bears, or I will not go above the Dolphins. Just not.
Trey Lance can make some mistakes. Lowest total game of the week.
Oh, yeah, he can.
Give me the Bears.
I actually like the Dolphins too at 2,600. They're a little more expensive, but.
Or you play the Lions for leverage against the Hurts, chalk. I don't hate that either. I mean, really, it's every week, man. It's just play the cheapest damn defense out there because they don't freaking matter. Moving. They don't matter at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that wraps up this, but for the first time this year, it is time to build our lineup. We did not do it last week, and here we are. So, we have a guest, D-Bro. We're going to allow you to start us off here.
Oof.
Let's build this lineup.
All right. Let me... Which quarterback am I going with, or who am I going to go with? You know what? I'm going to go Dalvin Cook. That's where I'm going.
All right. Maddie?
Well, let's take it the way that, you know, Derek seems to want to take this slate, and that's pair the running back with the QB. Kirk Cousins.
Okay. Kirk Cousins?
He's cheap, man. He's 6,100. He had some big games last year, too.
Dude, he had a crap... We kept playing him last year. Remember, like, how many times in the chat we're like, okay, another man-van week. Let's go.
My main team's going to end up Kirk Cousins. I can see it now.
Yeah, probably mine, too.
All right,
he's 4% in.
I'm going to go ahead and just lock in Justin Jefferson.
Okay. Okay. I'll even us out in that game. Irv Smith.
Three-man stack. Okay.
We're playing nuclear, baby.
Okay, well, if it's going nuclear, somebody on the other side has to contribute, so that would be Aaron Jones.
Love it. I like that. To you, Kev? I don't have it pulled up. How much salary do we have left?
4,500 remaining. So we have Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, and Irv Smith.
45 per. We need two receivers, flex, and a D.
You want me to take the Irv pick out?
No, he's fine.
Okay.
He's cheap. He's 3,400.
Oh, he's that low? Okay.
Yeah, he's low.
I couldn't remember if he was in the mid fours or
no. He's 34, mid threes.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. Awesome.
I'm gonna go with AJ Brown.
I love it.
How much money do we have left, Kev?
$3,900. Should we just go ahead and lock in the
Bears D? Yeah.
Yeah, put in Bears D, and then how much?
Okay, so that puts us $4,750 for a wide receiver and flex.
No, he's too expensive. Who's a men guy we were talking about, guys?
One of the Cardinals or Wandale.
How much is Wandale?
He's men.
He's men. Let's go Wandale. Because I really don't think we see a whole lot of Shep.
So that leaves $6,500.
Oh, just mini stack AJ Brown with Amon-Ra.
Oh. And the sex is complete.
All right.
Because you're 300 short of Swift, unfortunately.
The Titans play at 3, right? Did they play at 3? Yeah, they play at 3. Okay, yeah, so I'll put Wandale on the flex, and I'll put Amon-Ra St. Brown. Which I guess doesn't matter. I could take any of these guys. Some of these Vikings and Vikings and put them down here too. So
that's an interesting
anyways. Thing. So we have $400 left. It's Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, Wandale Robinson, Irv Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Bears D.
Dude, I love it. We've got exposure to high total games. Nobody's playing Vikings. It's a good day to be great.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I like the team.
Well,
you getting all these chats from Walido. You tossing that in the Millie Maker, Kev? We just gonna split it?
Yeah, I got some free tickets from.
I did too. I just saw that. I got it today. The message is like these are about to expire, and I'm like, I didn't know if it even.
Yeah, I got them. I got someone from baseball. So I'm happy I don't have to play. I mean, I actually really enjoyed playing MLB DFS this year. I really didn't get into it too much. I blame Maddie for that.
No, you blame Maddie. That's the person you blame, yeah. Mr. Live Final.
It started like right at the beginning of the season. Like I don't know how it really started. We started talking about it, and then all of a sudden I was like, you know, all right, I'll give it a shot.
I'm still waiting just been for you to text me NASCAR plays. I'm still waiting for those NASCAR plays, Kev.
Well, I actually stopped playing NASCAR because of MLB. I couldn't do it both.
Yeah, we blame Maddie then. We blame Maddie.
So, like, I was playing NASCAR, and then I was like, you know what? And so I think that's actually how it started. I think I was pissed off about like a bad week at NASCAR. He's like, oh, you should play MLB. And so I was like, all right, I'll look at it. So I started looking at it. Jeez. Next thing you know, I've pretty much played almost every slate since. So,
hey, that's awesome, dude. I get into MLB for about the first 3 weeks of the season, and then the luster wears off.
it's just super tilting.
It is, man. Yeah. It is. The swings, it's like playing Showdown every single slate, because you're like, well, it could be go. Oh, you know, run.
Yep. I will say for like the first month that I played, I was pretty hot. Like I came really close to taking a couple down. But it was a lot of fun. So, but I'm happy NFL's back. So we no longer have, so I don't have to play anymore. I can completely shift to the NFL.
Yeah, I'm ready to shift too. It's been a long year. Good year, but a long year.
I finished the preseason on a heater. I almost banked a few tournaments towards the end of the preseason. I'm ready, baby. I'm ready for this. And I'm already ready, man. Like, we'll be locking it in Thanksgiving this year. We don't lock it in sure. Early.
Yeah. We get two of them, though, because the Christmas Day slate's a three-game slate, too.
Ooh. Both of those are amazing slates. I love it. Love it, love yeah. it.
So I am happy NFL is back. I see the people in our chat already tilting over Cam Akers completely not doing anything tonight. But it is week one. So anyways, I appreciate you coming on, Derek. You have to come on a lot more. You have an open invitation to the
Oh, NFL. Dude. I mean, as long as I got time and sanity still, I mean, I'll be here every week, dude.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. Let's try to get Ryan on. When we do, we'll have to bring up FD, you know, whenever he comes on. Can't bash FanDuel. I think I actually did a pretty good job, though, when Ryan came on the last time.
The second time.
Oh, yeah, the first time.
First time was not good.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, the first
time. We were talking about that earlier. I said, is Ryan going to be on the show? And Maddie's like, I don't know, man. Some things and some stuff happened on the first show.
I couldn't help it, but then I forgot because like that's how that was one of the reasons that like they whenever he I don't want to say it's like the reason, but because the people FanDuel would listen, I guess the people there would listen to our show, and so that's where they reached out to him because they heard him on that, and so I was like, so I didn't really think about the times, man, those people still listen, and I mean, completely shit all over FanDuel.
It's good to know FanDuel is a pro monologue site. That's good to know, man. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So we'll have to get Ryan. We'll definitely get Ryan on for at least a couple shows this year. So I'm looking forward to that. Get all four of the band together, back together where it should be. So anyways, that being said, hey, we did good. Under an hour and a half. That is shocking for the three of us to be able to get the entire slate.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, next time. Anyways, so it means next time we got to double it up to 3 hours. Okay. Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I'll tap out.
Maddie's like, nah, I got that dad life going now, yeah, and I'm going to be up at 3 a.m. No, I'm not about to.
Yeah.
I can't go to bed when I'm waking back up.
I'm missing out on my bedtime right now for this. Like, I'm supposed to go to bed when the baby goes to bed.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome, Maddie.
All right. Nope. With that being said, I appreciate everybody checking. I appreciate everybody checking it out.
Today, Junior.
Yeah. And I hope everybody has a good week. We will see you guys back here for week two next Thursday night. Have a good weekend. Let's win some money. And as Ryan would always say,
Yeah.
You think you could tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? But you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. You can be like a book on a shelf back. You can be boy, yeah, and you can be little man.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.